But I'd like to suggest to you that that's the only way anything gets into the physical world. That manifesting is really nothing more than everything showing up in the physical world is the result of a divine idea. Everything, including you, and everything that you have, and everything that you see, and everything that you observe, and everything that you notice. And that somehow we are being encouraged to disregard our old belief systems, that that is something that is reserved for others other than myself. And what I am going to do here in this program is talk about what I think are the principles that you need to master and in sequential order begin to practice on a daily basis. And if you do, I'm saying that I know that the ability to transfer from the world of your thoughts to the world of your physical reality is not only possible, but it is very, very likely that you will see it showing up if you practice these principles. And as I sat down to write these principles and organize myself to think about these principles, I said to myself, who am I to be able to do this? Who am I to even challenge myself in such a way? But you know, what happens is you get, I don't know if it happens with you, but it happens with me. Something sticks in your cross. It's something you start to think to yourself, yeah, you know, I'd really like to explore this area. I'd really like to talk about this. It's way outside my area of expertise. But you know, you have to have the chutzpah or the courage or whatever it is that you want to call it to just say, all right, I'm going to do it anyway. So what I'm saying to you as you listen to this program, what I'm saying to all of you here today, is that you have to be very careful not to contaminate your experience of being able to become a manifester with your expectations of this is impossible. The contamination process is one which says, I can't do this. It's like I know already that this is something I can't do. And this is the very hardest thing for each and every one of us to grasp. It isn't like these nine principles are going to be very difficult. In fact, many of you, as you're listening to these, will say, well, I know this. Well, of course. And what's that got to do with manifesting? Well, by the time you finish this program, you will see exactly what each one of them has to do. And you'll have to be able to take each one and sequentially have it move to the next. And they're in a very specific order for a very specific reason. And when you stop the process of contamination with your expectations that I'm not expert enough, which is exactly what I did when I entered into this territory, of saying, okay, there are divine people that I have read about that have this gift of manifestation, that live at this thing that we call Christ consciousness or Siddhi consciousness, which is a consciousness in which there is a thought and then there is no time lag between the thought and its manifestation into the physical world. There are people who live at this high level of awareness, of consciousness. And I've read about them, and all of them say that each and every one of us have that as well. What's going on here? If they can do it, and they're telling us that we can do it, then what do we have to do in order to be able to do that? And doesn't that seem like to our rational sort of left brain that that might be a logical thing for us? So what I'd like to do is I'd like to share with you a poem. The poem is called The Cookie Thief. And it was written by Valerie Cox. The Cookie Thief. A woman was waiting at an airport one night with several long hours before her flight. She hunted for a book in the airport shop, bought a bag of cookies, and found a place to drop. She was engrossed in her book, but happened to see that the man beside her, as bold as could be, grabbed a cookie or two from the bag between, which she tried to ignore to avoid a scene. She munched cookies and watched the clock as the gutsy cookie thief diminished her stock. She was getting more irritated as the minutes ticked by, thinking if I wasn't so nice, I'd blacken his eye. With each cookie she took, he took one too. When only one was left, she wondered what he'd do. With a smile on his face and a nervous laugh, he took the last cookie and broke it in half. He offered her half as he ate the other. She snatched it from him and thought, oh, brother, this guy has some nerve and he's also rude. Why, he didn't even show any gratitude. She had never known when she had been so galled and sighed with relief when her flight was called. She gathered her belongings and headed to the gate, refusing to look back at that thieving ingrate. She boarded the plane and sank in her seat, then sought her book, which was almost complete. As he reached in her baggage, she gasped with surprise. There was her bag of cookies in front of her eyes. If mine are here, she moaned with despair, then the others were his, and he tried to share. Too late to apologize, she realized with grief that she was the rude one, the ingrate, the thief. Isn't that great? So how many times in your life have you absolutely known something? I mean, I have 8 children, okay? I mean, I have been the cookie thief so many times, it's really hard for me to admit this on tape, all right? When you know that something is a certain way, and you're absolutely certain of it. I mean, I can remember just recently accusing 3 of my kids of hiding my keys. I put them right here. This is where I left them. And don't tell me you didn't come and play with them. I've seen you do it before. Now, where are my keys? You've got to stop playing with my keys. I've told you before, when I'm in a hurry, I have to know where my keys are. I didn't do it, Daddy. Honest, I didn't do it. Honest, I was just playing. I didn't touch your keys this time. Yeah, right. Where are my keys? And I go around accusing everybody in the house of taking my keys. Then I went back and looked in my jeans pocket. There were my keys. The cookie thief. But, you know, we've all done this where we've had a knowing about something. And then later on realize it, and of course it's very hard to admit. You go to each one of your little kids, especially if they're 5 and 6, and say, you know, Daddy really is a jerk, you know. I'm really sorry, let that one pass over. I found my keys, you know. But it also applies in the kinds of things that I am talking about in this program. This idea of moving into territory that we know in our hearts and in our consciousness is not something that we can do. And we know it. And getting out of that mode of thinking and transcending that doubt and creating this knowing rather than a belief, but a strong knowing within us is very, very significant and important in understanding this business of manifesting. It means really removing the contamination process from your life. That which has been told you over and over and over again that is not possible for you. And many of the ideas here are very radical and will be perceived by some as almost blasphemous and perhaps entering into territory and giving people false hope and telling people that they can do things that they really can't do. But I know better. And when I practice manifesting, when I practice these techniques that I'll be sharing with you here, I see the results. And not only do I see them, but many of the people that I have talked to about this for the past couple of years now, and people, several thousand, perhaps 100,000 or so people, have begun this practice of meditating and using these sound meditations that I'll be sharing with you here today. Things that have been held in high secrecy for centuries, which are now beginning to be revealed. How it came to me, this idea, was one of those synchronistic sort of serendipity kinds of things that I have come to know are not accidental any longer. You know, that when you reach a level of consciousness that is beyond just surviving and just living your life each day, you begin to realize that these things that show up in your life show up for a reason. And later on, I'll be explaining about how this particular person in India read one of my books. You'll see it when you believe it. Picked up the telephone, called my office, sent me a tape, and asked me if I would listen to this tape and practice this meditation that is an ancient meditation that goes way back. If I would do this each day for 15 days without any doubt, just do it. Well, I'll do anything for 15 days. I'll give it a shot. I'm always willing to give it a shot. I've always believed sort of this, I've had this philosophy that goes way back, which is that no one knows enough to be a pessimist, you know. And that the universe is too big and too expansive and there's too much out there that we can't even begin to grasp as these tiny little subatomic particles in this huge universe. So that I'm willing, I've always had this sort of open mind. I'll try it, of course I'll try it. And I tried it, and these phenomenal things began to start happening in my life. Things started showing up that I would put my attention on. And I would do this daily meditation using these sounds of creation. And in the process of doing this, I thought it would show up in a certain way. Like if I put my attention on what it is that I want to manifest, and then I just start looking around for it to manifest like this, and I'm looking over here to the right. And I'm looking and saying, well, where is it? How come it's not here? And it's behind me on the left in a totally different form. Because one of the things that you'll hear is that you have to have patience. That you let the universe or God or whatever you want to call this divine organizing intelligence, you let that handle the details. But you just put your attention on having it show up in your life with a powerful knowing that it will. And then you let go. And you tune into this divine intelligence, which is actually a part of you. Because if it's everywhere, that means there's no place that it's not, including you. But more on that later.